Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Yeah, could you bear with me literally for just 30 seconds?
Consequence Podcast Network. And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with It's the Interview Series, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you, as always, for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Of course, I hope you hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. If you do, I'll give you three brand new interviews every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. All the usual places, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And if you do so, you'll hear some of our great guests that we've had on recently, including actor Michael Shannon. He was on here with Jason Narduzzi to talk about R.E.M.'s Murmur. We had Slater Kinney, producer Jack Antonoff and his band Bleachers. We had actor Peter Capaldi and Tom Mucci, who dropped in to discuss Criminal Records. McKenna Grace from the Ghostbusters movies, as well as Janelle Monae, Andy Taylor of Duran Duran, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age. Dolly Parton was even here. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And if you're already subscribed, the biggest thing you could do to help this series right here is to make sure to give the show a rating and leave a review wherever you're listening from. Those two things right there honestly go so far in helping out any podcast. Again, ratings, review, subscribe. I'm Kyle Meredith. Today, talking with Ben Barlow of the band Neck Deep. They've got a new record. It's self-titled. And we're going to be talking about how they've sort of taken their sound back to their roots. And he'll tell us about making actually a tough decision to scrap the work that they had been doing about halfway through the production in Los Angeles to instead self-produce the LP back home in Wales, as well as the plan to purposefully try to make a pure pop-punk album and what that means in the scope of their catalog. Ben's going to go on to talk about including a Beatles send-up in the single Heartbreak of the Century, the trick to getting political songs right, as in the case of their track We Need More Bricks, and documenting the discovery of aliens in Take Me With You. All that and more. It's a brand new self-titled record from Neck Deep. It's Kyle Meredith with Ben Barlow.
Yo, how's it going?
Been enjoying the band for a while now, but here we are on the newest one, and you guys are back. It's a self-titled record. And it's kind of just a nonstop barrage in a way of music. And you know, I'll take the low-hanging fruit too, you know, with this whole concept of going back to your roots. Let me just say, first off, how much fun I have listening to this. And congrats on another fine album.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah. I would say, yeah, we're kind of going back to our roots. I would say, yeah, in a lot of ways, but, you know, also kind of taking our experience, you know, thus far and applying that, you know, I think they're some of the best songs that we've ever written, I think. And again, everyone says this, you know, everyone says, ooh, it's the most, it's the best record we've ever written. But I wouldn't say that, but I think it's still, you know, it's up there. It's up there. I think we're the best songwriters that we've been. And this is just us, I think, simplifying a little bit and kind of taking a step back Yeah, getting back to our roots, like not just sort of like sonically, but like the process was very much more back to our roots. And yeah, you know, we had to make the tough decision to kind of switch things up halfway through production and took on the task of tracking and producing a record ourselves. But you know, that's all we did back in the day. It was the same kind of process, and so yeah, applied the same thing. And I think that's kind of what makes our sound is, I think, when we're kind of left to our own devices and can kind of communicate freely, and you know, I think we just know ourselves very well at this point. And yeah, like I said, better songwriters than we've ever been. So it's cool to see where the kind of, I don't know, just I guess just where the band has gone, you know, and just to see that we can still write pop punk, really, you know, generic pop punk, and still make it somewhat, you know, somewhat interesting and just fun overall, like you said. So yeah, thanks.
So what brought on the shift halfway through?
Well, we were out in LA and we were working with producers, and it was just like, just didn't sound the way that we wanted it to sound. It's not like the songs were like different. It was just things weren't sounding the way we wanted to, you know, some parts maybe we would change, and just the vibe was kind of off, I think, just generally, whether that was, you know, between ourselves or our surroundings. We, you know, it was a combination of things, and yeah, tough decisions kind of turn around to the band. I think everyone was kind of thinking it, and we were, you know, kind of doing, you know, trusting the process or whatever, but got to a point where it was just like, we kind of need to take control of this and get things done the way that we want them done, and you know, not have to fight that. So yeah, you know, we have a studio back home, it's not far from where we live, so we were just like, right, let's kit it out a little bit, and yeah, do this. We had to turn to Seb and say, are you ready to produce another full-length record? For you know, it's been a while, but yeah, you know, had to do what had to be done, but it paid off.
I was trying to figure out the word I wanted to use. I almost said, you know, that it takes guts to do that. And to a certain extent, I guess it does take guts, because when you are successful and teams have been built and people are depending on you and money is moving around from here to there, and you're in the middle of something and you go, we got to put on the brakes. We got to, like, that can't be an easy moment, but
no,
but we know what happens if you don't. Like, you know, you were yeah, kind of you were kind of joking around about, you know, every artist says, you know, this is our best album when they've done it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that goes even for the bad ones. And then you look back and you go, that was a mistake.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's tough. Like, you know, there's so many decisions that kind of go into how a record is made and where a record's made. Like you say, it's money. It's even down to stuff of, like, you know, accommodation for us to go and stay out in LA. You know, it ain't cheap these days. And, you know, while we're in a fortunate position, it's like we all probably kind of wanted to be home and felt a little bit more comfortable at home. Yeah, it was tough. But the other side to that is, like, we either stick with this though, and then the record really suffers, and we're stuck with a record that we don't like, or that we're constantly thinking, you know, could that have been different? And we also knew that time constraints, you know, we ended up having to push the record back a couple of months, because, you know, our time in LA set us back probably a month, 6 weeks, something like that. So we knew we had to, like, really get home and crunch, and we were in the studio pretty much every day. But immediately, you know, we got in the studio back at home, and it was like, all right, this is, whew, these songs are sounding bad now, you know what I mean? Like, we were, it was tough. There was a particular meltdown we had in LA, and all sat in a diner outside, and it was just like, oh god, what the fuck are we doing? Like, it's going to be, you know, we're a month behind schedule. It's going to cost us so much money to scrap this, essentially. But there you go. Yeah, it had to be done.
And we'll be right back right after this. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. I live in Kentucky, in the Midwest, and allergies, yeah, I suffer. When I say I suffer from allergies, I suffer from allergies. And around here, everyone I know deals with allergies to some degree. And for a long time, I thought it was just something that I would have to live with, which is a real problem for anything, but especially when you're a radio host. It affects my voice, it affects my mood, it affects everything. And I feel like I've tried all the medicines. Some of them work better than others, but there's never a perfect one out there, especially because some of them take forever to actually work and some of them don't work at all. And then there's Astepro, the fastest solution to nasal allergy symptoms. It's what I use now, and it's definitely changed my life. Astepro is the first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astepro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astepro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. With all the pollen in the air, with all the dust around the corners of the house, even with the allergies I have from my dog, Astepro has been the nasal spray that has helped me with all of my allergies. And it can help you too. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astepro. Go to AstaproAllergy.com for a discount so you can Astepro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. That's Astepro allergy.com. Astepro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in One offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ben Barlow of Neck Deep.
You know, the type of questions we don't usually get to ask artists, but you know, like, I enjoy all of your records, but do you have any of those where you remember, like, you got finished and you're like, this is great, and now you look back on it and go, well,
I don't know. I think I don't know. I think there will always be a sense of that because you're like so into what you're doing, and like what you're doing at that you know, at that moment feels right. Like, I don't think we have any bad records. I think we just have like some records that like really stick out to fans, like hit at the right moment, you know, and it holds a lot of like, I don't want to say this. Yeah, I guess a lot of nostalgia for people really. But no, honestly, we've walked away from every record that we've done loving it really. Like, regardless of what other people think, like, we're never going to please everyone. We're a fucking pop punk band for a start. Like, not everyone is just going to like pop punk off the bat. Like, maybe well-written pop punk people might like, you know, we hope to be the band that maybe people do go, oh yeah, well, pop punk, Neck Deep do it well, you know? So we're not trying to get everyone to like us, you know what I mean? So it's like, hey, if you don't like it, whatever. But I don't know, last record, maybe a little bit ADAI though. Like, we were in such a fucking bubble writing that record that like, we absolutely loved it, and we were trying to do a lot of different stuff too, and like, we were kind of trying to push our boundaries a little bit because at that time we didn't want to write another pop punk record, you know. We were kind of like, ah, oh, we do have to do something, you know. And it's part of a lot of bands' trajectories when they kind of they pivot for a minute just to test the waters and then generally take a step back, and I see the point in that, like, or at least the sort of like creative logic behind it. Like, you want to go as far as you can and test what people like and what they don't like. And yeah, I think maybe post COVID too, we had like a kind of like, let's just fucking simplify what we do. Like, let's not kill ourselves trying to evolve into something else. Let's just like keep what we're doing going, you know? Yeah, so it's tough. It is tough. It's scary doing it, like finishing up a record and like putting it out to the world and like getting people's first responses and stuff. It's kind of like, oh fuck, you know what I mean? Like, you know, obviously everyone likes it, but it's like, fuck, this was like 6 months of my life that was, you know, more that was kind of put into this, and it is tough to kind of set it free. But yeah, we're not trying to appeal to everyone, so.
for anybody to put art out there, that's always commendable. And you know, and I will compliment you again, because you guys are obviously great songwriters at this point. You have honed your craft.
Thank you.
Even when you're switching up the genres or whatever, tweaking the genres, like, those are still great songs. And this set, which, you know, here you self-titled a record, and it's funny how much a self-title can speak more than, you know, it's like, oh, it's our name, but it ends up saying so much, like, we're betting on ourselves kind of a thing, or at least that's how it comes across to me. But the songs on here, like, Heartbreak of the Century, I think is one of the best songs I've heard this year, like, easily, hands down.
Yeah, that's a banger, you know, we had that one in the locker for a while, and, you know, yeah, thank you. I think, but, you know, in terms of, like, general sound as well, I think, like, yeah, we know what we do well. Like, we haven't really tried to write, like, an out-and-out pop-punk record until this record. And so I think in that sense, again, you know, it's this whole going back to roots thing, whatever, sounds a little cliche, but, like, you know, that was, it felt right to be able to do that this time. And self-titling it as well, like, we were throwing around a bunch of album names, like, some of them were jokes, some of them were, like, song lyrics or whatever, and we had a bunch of good ones that had some good meanings and all this sort of stuff, but then you've got to think of, like, the artwork to go along with that and everything else, and it's all gotta feel right. And at some point, you know, a self-titled was suggested, and I think down to the way that we did it and the way that it happened, it ended up just kind of feeling right that it was, like, it was kind of just like, okay, we've done this all ourselves, like, this hasn't been through any other filter other than our own. We made it ourselves in our own space in the way that we always have. And if there was ever a time to do a self-titled, it maybe just felt like this was kind of the one, you know, like, fuck it, let's just, if you get one, then let's do it on this one, why not? And save some good album titles too, because there's a couple in there that, you know, there's always ideas flying around. So this is one of them. It just kind of felt right. The album's, like, short, sharp, in your face, and I feel like that's kind of what Neck Deep's always kind of been about. So
yeah, and for fans, it I don't kind of, there's an expectation. We kind of know what we're getting into at that point, you know. And
yeah.
I did want to ask about that track a little bit further, Heartbreak of the Century. Do you remember coming up with those lines? Because I love the wordplay of that track.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the way that I write is always kind of geared towards that. You know, I feel like that's a very Neck Deep song. And I think the time that I was writing that, I think we finished that one up in Florida, because we actually went out and did a couple tracks with Andrew Wade, who we worked on Life Now to Get You with. And that was one of the songs that came out of there. I think we also did Shut the Fuck Up with Wade too, or maybe I got that the wrong way around. I don't know. but I was kind of just like, I don't know, for the verses, I kind of just wanted it to be this, like, finger pointer and this, like, kind of stabby, aggressive thing that, you know, was quite in your face. And then you obviously open it up for the chorus, it gets a little bit more kind of ballady. But the lyrics generally, I'm not sure. I think subconsciously the You Got Me Good, You Cut Me Deep came maybe subconsciously from, like, a Beatles reference. Which was, I can't remember what song it is. I think it might be Dig a Pony, maybe. I watched the Beatles documentary when we had COVID and had to stay in Baltimore for 10 days. And so that set me off on, like, a huge Beatles obsession again, but I've always loved them. But I think it's Dig a Pony from that song. And it's one of the lyrics is, she got me and she got me good. And I was like, she got me good, got me good. It's kind of like a cool little thing. And I think that's kind of where the chorus maybe came from. So yeah, who knows? To me, that's just like a playful breakup song that I think is kind of just hopefully applicable to people. That's what I try and do, you know. It's just like try and sum up a feeling, try and get into what a song, like, feels like. Like, in terms of the instrumental and the musical idea for it. So, yeah, that's where it came from, I think. Yeah.
Fun video, too. That's the award show video, right?
I actually love that video. That video might be one of my favorites. So
yeah, is that you guys having fun, or is that based on a little bit of personal experience?
The video? Well, we have a limited experience of award shows, like, which tells you something. We've won a couple of awards here and there. But award shows now generally don't really like them. Yeah, they are kind of weird. You are expected to, it's especially with us, and I think especially a little bit in, like, the alternative genre in general, like, trying to be like super flashy celebrities or like pretending to be that for a night is kind of weird. I think it's different if it's like Grammys or like the Brit Awards or some shit like that. But yeah, for the most part, it's kind of like, you know, there's this celebrity dickhead version of you that people see. And then there's this, you know, not that we're even celebrities. I would hate, I do not want that tag, but yeah, like, you know, and then there's you kind of, and the idea again stemmed from just like, oh, it would be funny if the heartbreak of the century was like, you actually got the award for it. And yeah,
are you just beating him to the punch is what you just did. You did it, like, you didn't be mad, like, you've already got the award. That's,
yeah, exactly. We'll give ourselves an award. Yeah. Okay. Why not? If we're not going to get any more. Exactly. Like I said, we're not trying to please anybody but ourselves. So we can give ourselves a good old pat on the back for that. Yeah. Give ourselves an award.
And we'll be right back right after this.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Ben Barlow of Neck Deep.
The easy sides of the record. I was looking at the track list. You got the heavier sides that, you know, we need more bricks. I mean, I'm gonna quote that line to you. It's worth it. You know, we need more fight. We need more grit. We need more punks and we need more bricks.
Yeah.
And reading about, you know, you're talking throughout the song, what I wrote down: monarchy, immigration, protest laws, international wars. Like, that is a wide net that you're and so concise and consolidated, you know, within this pop punk song. Like, what brought that on? Because obviously you are exercising something.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. I think you know, I kind of always want to write political songs, but sometimes it's hard to get them right. Like, I don't know, you can get things wrong so easily, I think, you know. And we've written political songs in the past, even, that I look back now as someone who's older and has a better understanding of politics and kind of the way the world works, you know, a little bit more life experience. It's kind of like, I look back on some of them and some of the lines, I'm like, fuck yeah, you fucking know that one, you know what I mean? But then other times I'm like, maybe we could do better. But I think this is genuinely the best political song we've ever written. I think it's, yeah, really punchy, like just the right amount of punch to it, riding on easy core a little bit. And yeah, I think just very, very succinct, very concise and to the point. But yeah, definitely, I'm a very political person. I was brought up in quite a political household. And yeah, I follow it very, very closely. I would say generally, like, I'm genuinely more concerned with the state of the world probably than, God, I don't know. It's high on my list of daily freakouts, you know what I mean? So I'm always leaning towards writing songs like that. And I think with this one we kind of got it right with the tone and with what we're commenting on, you know. And you know, putting it out there and it's always kind of over the top. We kind of, you know, especially the songs like Shut the Fuck Up is another one that kind of rides that line a little bit. And I think it's always kind of good to go over the top and get kind of crazy with things and then wind it back in, you know. So it's kind of over the top and it's kind of, yeah, it's meaningful, it's punchy, it kind of gets right through to the issues, you know what I mean? There's some subtext there, but for the most part, like, I think it's pretty easy to grasp. And yeah, I just hope that if there's anything I can do with my platform or whatever, then I think it would be to make people aware of some of the horrible, horrible things that happen in the world, and the things that do affect them. You know what I mean? Ultimately, like all of this, all of these wars and all of this profiteering and all this corruption within government, like it does genuinely affect you. Like we could have a better, things could be better. And that's, again, another part of the lyrics in the song, you know, it just ain't right. And it just ain't this, like, you know, I know there's a way out. Like there's a way out of this now, and it's by, it's going to take some pretty radical change, you know what I mean? But it's all about people pulling together, and it's all about, I think, people needing to stand up and needing to say something about what's going on, peacefully, of course, you know. Again, you know, we need bricks to build things, of course. And I think as well, punk as well should always be kind of political, sure, really. My older brother, again, was, you know, he was the elder punk in the household and kind of gave it to me and Seb. And his favorite bands were like Bad Religion, Dead Kennedys, Rage. I mean, yeah, even Green Day to an extent, pretty political. Blink, little bit, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, the American Idiot record, you know, that's the, it changed so much. Yeah, yeah, and yeah. Then, you know, and for me, it all starts with the Clash's Know Your Rights. Like that's the top bar. You know, that's step one, I guess, is, you know, when we could do a song.
That was the first out of the gate. Yeah, I mean, you know, even to an extent as well, like, we need more punks, we need more bricks. It's like kind of an anarchistic thing. It's, you know, it's calling on bands like the Sex Pistols, and it is not being afraid to say, like, hey, fuck it. And that's what I mean as well by, like, it's over the top. Like, hey, obviously I don't want people to stop throwing fucking bricks, but as an analogy, fuck, we need to do something at the very least, you know. So yeah, I think it should be political, and I think that's always been a goal of punk rock music, has always been to spread awareness about those sort of things, or at least kind of give a platform to those sorts of things. So if we can do that, you know, in small doses and do it well, then cool, yeah, you know. And again, I'm more politically aware than I was when I was in 22, 23, 24, you know. So it's, you know, maybe a bit more room to talk about stuff like that. And, you know, it beats writing songs that don't mean anything either. The response from fans about those lyrics, I think a lot of people were stoked on the lyrics particularly, which I was stoked about. So
yeah, it's a well-written song. It really is. And I was not comparing it, but putting it next to Take Me With You. And I thought, I think somewhere in a lot of our minds, maybe even subconsciously, we thought, if we ever figure out about aliens, that changes things, right? And now yeah. We've figured out a little bit more about aliens and nothing changed. Nothing happened.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, they're here. And everyone was kind of like, well, yeah, there's too many other things happening. It's crazy, man. It's like, you don't know which fucking way to look. Aliens was just thrown in there as like a little, you know, that was just a little side dish to the madness. It was just crazy. Aliens just kind of slipped in there. But, you know, that while that I think it also shows kind of what we're about as well. Like, you know, on one hand, you have this pretty serious, to the point, like, thought-provoking song. And then you just have this stupid ode to Aliens Exist by Blink, basically. But at the same time, those things are kind of connected and, like, you know.
Bit of an existential thing happening, you know, with wanting to escape the planets.
Yeah, there's still definitely that kind of message in Take Me With You as well. Yeah, touches on it for sure.
By the way, and you know, speaking of music videos, some top-notch masks that you guys have for the aliens.
Oh, yeah. yeah, of course. That really happened. That was all actual footage that, you know, that really happened. I was really abducted and went partying. The video was, it was a tough one, actually, that video in particular, because it was, we had like no budget for it. I can't remember what circumstance. I think it was just because like there had been like slightly bigger budgets allocated for other songs, for videos and stuff. So this was one where it was just like, okay, we want to put this out, be good timing. It's a good song, like, you know, be a good one live. And the video, we had like no money for it. And we got Ollie and Murray, who Ollie is the singer from Static Dress, who are like a UK like post-hardcore kind of under-oathy kind of band. They're fucking awesome, and Ollie is insanely, insanely talented. But anyway, he made that video for us, and it was me and my old housemate that basically had to rent a van and drive insanely far to so many like pointless locations. Sorry, I just dropped an AirPod. The routing was a little rough, but everyone else was like Sam lives out in America. Our guitarist, he lives in Nashville. Our guitarist Wes was living in LA at the time. Our drummer's girlfriend lives in France. Seb is just generally kind of a hermit. He's like pondering his orb at home. So it was just like, right, okay, it's got to be me. Then I kind of got to do this whole thing in it for the long run. So yeah, we knocked it out over like 2 or 3 days, and had to keep the budget really tight, but kind of just lean into the cheapness of it, you know.
Well, that's it. I think that's what made me like it as much. I mean, you think like, you know, the B movie alien stuff that you might see on Mystery Science Theater 3000 or something, you know, like that's if that had been too top notch, I don't know that it would have been too as effective, you know. That's I loved it. I really did. I loved the campiness of it, I guess, you know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just fun. It wasn't meant to be a super serious one. It's not a serious song, so yeah.
Ben, congratulations on this, and of course, thanks for taking the time to talk to me about it today.
No worries, Ben. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate you.
My thanks to Ben Barlow. The new Neck Deep self-titled record is out now. Thanks, of course, to you for checking out the episode. Please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up the entire series. 3 new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, at Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And don't forget to leave a review and give a rating wherever you're listening from as well. And then after that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get lots of classics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. There are song premieres with the best in new tracks. There's lots of music news, bonus interviews as well. One of my recent episodes, I featured the music of The Vaseline, Simon and Garfunkel, Norma Tanega, Adrian Linker from Big Thief, John Lurie, Paul Westerberg, The Beatles, Lydia Lovelace, Angie Stone, Yard Act, Local H, The Cure, Suzanne Vega, Toad the Wet Sprocket, and my interview with Suki Waterhouse. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the old social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
I'm a coffee nerd too. I have my own little setup at home, but I had to make a run for beans today. But yeah, I'm very caffeinated. Yeah,
it's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at wfpk.org, from Louisville Public Media.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.